gives us some great insights of the Old, New Testament in the Old Testament. So they both coincide with each other, and especially with the Ten Commandments. That was the theme for the lock-in, the Ten Commandments. And we talked about that last night. And it's wonderful to see what the prophets reveals to us that are very applicable to our lives today. So follow along with me with the first verse chapter 4, verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and divisive speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet. See, it's not leaving anything out. Almost the five senses that God has given us. So verse 26, watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. And then chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear, there you go, there's your ear now, to my understanding, that you may observe discernment, and your lips may reserve knowledge. I was thinking about this message and reading and pondering and meditating over this scripture, thinking about, you know, the heart, very vital organ in our body. Without it, we'd have no life. And it's one that we need to protect, you know, both physically and spiritually. Back years ago, and I believe it was September the 4th, 2006, we were all shocked to hear about the tragic death of Steve Irwin. How many of you remember Steve Irwin? Yeah. The crocodile hunter. And you know what? When we heard of his death, we were stunned. I was stunned. Not that he died, for he faced tremendous dangers, you know, on a daily basis. We were rather surprised by the way he died. About the only way that a stingray could kill you is to stab you directly in the heart with the barbed spine. Who would have a thought that the great crocodile hunter, Steve Irwin, would have went in that fashion? I never would have thought it. Of course, I've read other things about, you know, his helper and everything, and warning him and suggesting things. But if ever we expected him to have a great injury, we would have think about maybe a leg or a hand, or maybe his head, but not his heart. The scripture says, Proverbs 4:23, I read a while ago, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the issues of your life. Now you can change that issue that's underlined up there to course. But in KJV, it says issues. New American Standard is course. This New Living Translation. So when we look at that, the word issues, I want us to look at that word. Because it is defined in the Strong's Concordance as boundaries. That's what that word means. Issues is boundaries in this text. Our sources are our outgoings. And we could term it as the way the text goes, as a central focus. You know, our heart needs to be focused, centered on God. So we use this phrase, the heart of the matter, meaning the same. So Irwin was keenly in tune with nature. How many of you would say he was in tune with nature? Now, he has done some tremendous things. You know, he got bit by a snake one time by just messing with it a little bit, but it was venomous. But also, I've seen him get down in a snake's face and say, "Hey, snake," you know, because they can't hear. They don't have ears. They have sensors from their tongue. But who would have thought that, you know, he would have died, you know, by a stingray? But he had a keen sense of tune with nature and knew his boundaries. He was very centered and he was very focused. The word heart has reference to the center of an object. Okay? In the Hebrew, it means kindle of nut. What a definition. But it has to do with one's feelings, the will, even the intellect. So it's the object that makes the decision, making the individual known of a situation. So today, most of the health education is focused on keeping the heart healthy. Because every time you go to the doctor gets out the stethoscope and he says, "Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out." And he does that so many times you almost pass out, right? I had my physical back first of the month and the doctor had me doing that. And I thought, he said, "Are you going to pass out yet?" I said, "If you keep on, I will." Because, you know, you get lightheaded. But the first of, you know, this month, we went, Brenda and I both had our cholesterol checked. Why? Why do we do that? Because it's, heart attacks probably are the number one killer of the society. And the same is true spiritually with the heart. So today, God always begins with the heart. Then he works outward. Just like that song that the children sang just now. Outward, inward, outward. Now, the heart comes first, and it speaks of their inner life. So, where the word says keep, it's a personal responsibility. Every one of us is responsible for our own health, you know, by exercising and eating right and doing the things that we know we're supposed to do. You know, the heart must come first. and it's our responsibility. See, God would not give us an assignment we cannot keep or accomplish. All excuses are removed, okay? Now, keep thy heart. That's what the scripture says. Keep thy heart. Now, he didn't give us any options here. If you really look at the scriptures intently, he didn't give us any options. This is not speaking about a certain conviction at this time. When we pray, when we're seeking God's guidance to make decisions in important issues or our manners in life, we want to seek his will and make it based upon the conviction of the Holy Spirit within our heart. But this is a direct command from God here in this scripture here this morning. Therefore, our action is beginning immediately to keep thy heart. It's a command. So the heart is to be guarded at all cost, whether it be physically or whether it be spiritually. We should guard it at all cost. In armed warfare, the vital part of the body is always protected. Why does policemen wear vests? Law enforcement, why do they wear vests anymore? Because when they're practicing or when anybody's practicing, they're shooting for the central part of the body, and usually that's the heart. It's a lot easier to hit because it's broader than the head. But therefore, we need to guard it at all costs. So in our Christian realm, that is always, it's the heart. The reason we have so many casualties spiritually is because the heart is ignored. And that's why the scripture says, guard your heart. So King David, the shepherd boy, he writes about the fixed heart in Psalms 112:7 when he says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. The one after God's own heart, David himself said this. So also notice the term with all diligence. See, the heart should receive the greatest effort. We protect our homes with security, and some of you do, some of you may. You know, you may have a dog, or you may have a dog that barks over here and bites over there. You may have a weapon of some sort that you protect your home. We have securities. Deadbolt locks. We have security lights. Everybody has security lights, right? And some have weapons on guard, and yet we ignore the heart. And too many Christians try to live a life with no effort. The instruction with all diligence, and you'll probably hear me say that several times, with all diligence, tell us it is constant warfare that will require spiritual energy. Now, if an athlete ignores his training and discipline and partakes in the wrong social life or diet, he won't perform very good, will he? Travis, you know that. You know, anybody, any coach or anybody that's in any kind of training. My son, Tim, talks about that all the time, about the training and the discipline and the eating right and all of this, and drinking water, fluids, and so forth for the body. But sometimes we ignore the heart. So if we let the body follow the desires of the flesh, the athlete days are over. You know, we get out of shape and we can't perform. So it is with the heart. So the success of our Christian life depends on the following principles that God has given us, and he gives those principles here beginning in verse 24 through 27. And it says that we are, in verse 24, keep your mouth right. How many of you keep your mouth right? And you're thinking, yeah, I brush my teeth every day, every morning, every evening. And that's good. We've got to keep a clean mouth, our teeth especially. But it's not always talking about that. See, I'll never forget the look on Crocodile Hunter's face one time when he was unexpectedly bitten by that small snake. He was explaining that the creature would only strike if he perceived a movement. Well, Steve Irwin, he wasn't thinking, I guess, when he said that. Nothing was moving on his body except his lips. And when the snake saw that motion, that movement, that's where he bit him, on the lip. And the expression that I don't know if you ever saw that video, but he was just kind of overwhelmed that he allowed that to happen. So Proverbs 4:24 says, "Put away from thee a forward mouth, and preserved lips put far from thee." Now, forward has to do with which is bad. What comes out of the mouth, whether it's, it could be gossip. It could be anything. It could be something slain or detrimental to one's life or anything. It could be bad speaking about your family or your church or somebody, a close friend. That shouldn't happen. If you have something against someone, go to them personally. Don't say it behind their back. And that's what this scripture is talking about. Now, let's look at something else. Your mouth will have a bearing on your heart. Evil speech is a sure indicator of an evil heart. Now, let's look at, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners." You know, people can somewhat control their speech when they want to. When it is in the best interest to do so. A foul-mouthed person will control his or her language in the presence of a boss who will not allow foul talk. But James says, "The tongue cannot no man tame." Now, you can tame a lion, right? You can tame a lot of animals. But the scripture says here in James, you can't tame the tongue. So only God can totally fix this problem, and he does it by changing what? Our heart. So if we've got a changed life, a changed heart, then whatever comes out our mouth is going to be good. It's not going to be bad stuff. Now, secondly, you will become like what you talk about. See, there's a connection being between the tongue and the heart. There's that connection. Whatever goes in the mind, some kind of time comes out of the mouth. And if it's good stuff, that's great. But if it's something that is slain or not good, it shouldn't be spoken. It should be left alone. And then your mouth would do more damage to your heart than anything else. Now, therefore, keeping your heart like it should means you must keep your mouth right. So a wrong mouth and a wrong heart will not occupy or needs not occupy the same body. Next, don't allow your mouth to overload your heart. So I know of situations where a person has talked so much until they had to do what their mouth said to keep their face from their peers. And that's not keeping your mouth right. James chapter 3 verse 8 says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." James chapter 3 verse 8. So the greatest problem most churches have is a loose talk. The greatest problem that we as people have is a loose talk. Loose talk damages innocent people, innocent lives. In Romans 16:17, it says, "Now I beseech you," Paul is saying, you know, "I'm really urging you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." So it's serious. The Bible talks about that. Anything devilish or rumors or bad talk is devilish according to scriptures. Okay, next, let's look at keep your eyes. In verse 25, it says, keep your eyes. So it's talking about our mouth. Now it's talking about our ears. Evidently, Solomon must had connections or saw some things going on in his life that needed to be addressed, and the Holy Spirit revealed that to him. So this is revealed information given to a man named Solomon to write this down, to give, to pass on. Now, keep your eyes right. Now, I want us to look at this very carefully here this morning. If you watch Crocodile Hunter, Steve Irwin, as much as I did, or our family, you will notice that he always kept his eyes on the animal, not on the camera. I never did see him look at the camera. He always kept his eye on the animal. It wasn't rude for him not to look in our direction. That's not rude. If he did not, he would have died a long time ago. He could have been eaten by an alligator or an animal of that sort. But he came to know instinctively about what an animal was thinking by watching it. He admitted that he was somewhat out of his comfort zone or his element in the water. He admitted that, and yet he still went into the water, and certainly vision is not as clear under those conditions. In Proverbs chapter 4, 25 says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. How many of you knew a lot of these scriptures were in the Word of God? You know, we learn these as we start at Genesis chapter 1 and read through Revelation chapter 22. And, you know, sometimes these scriptures will jump right out at us and teach us something very valuable about our lives, about our bodies, about the organs in which are very vital for our lives, especially our heart, both physically and spiritually. So what your eyes see will affect your heart. Keep your eyes straight ahead. So a great bit of temptation that you face is brought on through your eyes. If the eyes are controlled, you will eliminate one-third of the temptations that you're faced with in life. If the eyes are controlled that way, in John chapter 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not the Father, but of the world. You remember that song we used to sing as children? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. I used to sing it when I was a little kid, and I've never forgotten it. And if we as an adult will keep that in mind, oh, little not only little eyes, but big eyes. Watch what you see. See, the eyes are the most influential part of your body. You think about that. Now, I want to give you something to remember. Did you know that you can remember 80% of what you see and only 11% of what you hear? So what you see this morning, you'll remember that 80%, but probably 11% of what you hear from me this morning, you're going to forget it. And whatever you hear in 72 hours, you'll forget 90% of it. So that's pretty close, 11% of what you hear. Satan's strategy in the Garden of Eden. I wanted to share it because when I read this and I was thinking about this message, it took me to the Garden of Eden, where Eve, what did she do? She looked at the fruit on the tree. And Satan suggested in getting her to fix her or gaze her eyes upon the bidden fruit. And how desirable it appeared to her. It looked good. The Bible says it looked good. The longer she looked, the more she desired to partake of it. The longer she looked, the more difficult it was to tear her eyes away from looking. And soon she lost all sense of proportion. She forgot about her husband. She forgot about God's warning of the certain consequences of judgment. You shall surely die. She forgot about that. The tree and its fruit was all that she could see. At the last, the look became a lust. The longer she looked. In Genesis 3:6, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant," see, "pleasant to the eyes, and a tree being desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat, and then gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat." So, visual is very important, but whatever we see, make sure that it is good, because whatever comes to the eyes ends up in the heart. So, keep our hearts pure diligently. And then keep your feet right. In verses 26 through 27, whether you knew this or not, most stingray injuries come when they are stepped on, or when you're in their path, or they're somewhat threatened. See, they love to bury themselves beneath a thin layer of sand. And experts say that if you shuffle your feet or drag them, the stingray will just swim away as you approach them. But for some reason, Irvin got over the stingray and the barb went right through his heart. And Proverbs 4:26 says, "Ponder the path of your feet and let all the ways he established." Let's look at a planned walk, which means ponder your path. Think about your path. Don't just rush into something, but think about it, the consequences. See, where your feet trod will cause your heart to respond. You know, the five senses and everything about our lives and how God has pre-programmed us is so uniquely, and they all work in conjunction with one another. But don't just turn your feet, the Bible says, loose to go anywhere they want to go. You don't do that. See, ponder. You know, Bible used that word for Mary. She pondered what Jesus said to her. And when people would come to Mary and they say, "Would you tell your son that we need this or we need that?" And she says, Do what he says. Just do what he says. When Jesus was at the temple and they thought he was lost, and they went back, Joseph and Mary, and they found Jesus. "Why did you come back?" And Jesus said, "I'm about my Father's business." And as they went back to Jerusalem, the Bible says that she pondered this in her heart. She pondered a lot of things. That means we're thinking intellectually and spiritually with our heart. So ponder means to weigh mentally. Choose well. Don't make rash decisions. Use wisdom in choosing your path of life. So I've made some, you know, decisions in life myself that, you know, I wish I had pondered longer first. And you may have as well. Before you buy a home, before you buy a car, plunge yourself into debt 5 to 30 years. You know, seek or seek a new job. Pray and ponder over it first. Seek advice if necessary, and then follow the conviction of your heart upon the Holy Spirit interaction with you. That's what the Scripture tells us to do. And then the Bible says, protect your walk. Remove thy foot from evil. See, be careful whom you walk with as well. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You don't usually walk with somebody you disagree with, do you? But if you can, or disagree agreeably, maybe. Look at it that way. So remember, with me, the steps of Abraham and Lot. I thought about that. On that eventful day, Abraham suggested to Lot that they part company because of they couldn't get along. They couldn't agree with one another. They went their different ways. In Genesis chapter 13, records their decision. It says, Lot pitched his tent, and Abraham removed his tent. So Lot pitched his, but Abraham, he removed his and moved on because they couldn't agree. See, Abraham was seeking godly direction. He was focused on what God wanted him to do. Lot was unstable in his decision. He made bad choices, and he reaped the consequences of his choice. See, Lot's feet took him into the city of sin and shame. Abraham's feet took him far away from that sinful situation. He couldn't wait to put his directions between himself and the filthy cities of the plains there. Which is what the Bible says. Now, let's look at the final things. It says about our ears. In verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, there is no hearing underwater. Do you know that? It may be a little sound, but you can't hear correctly. If Steve Irwin's companion were trying to warn him that he was getting too close, they could not because he was underwater. Have you ever been in a swimming pool underwater and somebody underwater and they said, listen to what I say. Well, I'd go under with them and come back up, and they said, what did I say? I said, blah, 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 blah. That's about what it sounded like, because you can't hear underwater, no matter how you try, unless you've got some kind of a special device set up in a scuba gear or something like that. But with your mouth and your ears, you cannot understand. So it's only wise to make sure that you've got your ears on. In Proverbs 5, 1 and 2, my son, give attention, okay? Give attention to my wisdom. What did Solomon ask for? What did he ask for? He could have fame, glory, whatever, because God said, what do you desire? I'll give you. And he said, I'll take wisdom. Because he got everything else anyway, didn't he? Because of choosing wisdom. God blessed him. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discernment, and your lips may reserve knowledge. You see, that's what it's all about. On the other hand, the ears hear things at times that they should not hear. We do. We hear a lot of things we shouldn't hear. And they may hear correctly what was said, but there are times when we must put earplugs in our ears and go on and serve God. And in closing, the Bible says we must. It's a command. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. If you do not keep your heart protected, your face seriously, spiritually is injured. See the barbs of this world? See the barbs of a stingray, can kill? The barbs of this world were pierced through and through, and they will no revive, and there's no reviving from the world. And it's barbs to all the things, our mouth, our feet, our ears, our eyes. So we got to keep our ears and our hearts with all diligence. And what the Bible says, you got to keep focused on Jesus. And I think it's very important that we understand that, you know, people are watching us. And, you know, whatever goes on out there sometimes comes back home, doesn't it? You know, whatever God, I know that he impressed upon me to preach this message this morning. Sometimes some messages are harder to preach than others. And sometimes they're harder to be received as well on your part or my part. But this message or any message is always is for me as well as it is you or anyone else. The Word of God is here for all of us to read and to acknowledge and absorb the wisdom that we need in order to make good and right decisions and to keep our mouth and our ears and our feet and our hearts pure in order to live a productive Christian life and be a witness for the Lord. Because we're to build up one another. We're to build up the church, not to tear it down or divide. A house divided against itself will not stand, according to the Scripture. Thank goodness that, you know, we here at Versailles Baptist Church understand this valuable lesson that the Scripture teaches. What we need to do is practice it day in, day out. Keep our hearts diligently focused on Jesus. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the convicting power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are real and alive. And you place scriptures at the right time in our lives for us to see that we might remember it longer than what we hear it. That we can visualize the interaction of the Holy Spirit wanting to make changes in our lives, to help us to live better lives, help us to be conscious of the decisions and of the things that we say can be damaging not only to ourselves but to others in the cause of and for the sake of Christ. Lord, help us, Lord, to think before we speak. If we see something we shouldn't, may we turn our eyes from it. May our feet not go where they should not be going. And our heart, maybe. Lord, I just pray that we will take in and in our heart the things that you will help, that will help us to focus on you. Lord, I thank you this morning for the power of your Holy Spirit. Be with us now as we sing this invitation. Whatever your desire is in each one of our hearts, may we be willing to step out and respond to your invitation through the wooing of your Holy Spirit in our life. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this